What a beautiful church that we can come to this morning. If you would open your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel will begin in chapter, well, we'll be a little places all over 1 Samuel this morning, but just start as a starting place, 1 Samuel chapter 11. 1 Samuel chapter 11. Let's open up by singing our verse this morning, if you remember it. It's in Psalm 25, verses 1 and 2. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over. All right, I hope many of y'all have memorized that portion of Scripture. Now, let me teach you one new one this morning so we can move from that verse into another verse and continue to hide God's Word in our heart. In Isaiah chapter 51, and it's verse 11. Isaiah 51, 11. Does anybody know Isaiah 51, 11 as a song? All right, so we're going to learn a new verse this morning. Isaiah 51, 11, it goes like this. If you know it, please help me. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Repeat. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Good. Let's try it one more time. Isaiah 51, verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Amen. Thank you so much this morning. That's a good way to hide God's Word in your heart. That's Isaiah 51:11. Now back into 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel this morning, chapter 11. We'll look at a few verses and then we'll pray. 1 Samuel 11. Chapter 11, verse 14 and 15. Then said Samuel to the people, come, and let us go to Gilgal, and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. Now turn it over to chapter 15. Chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, look at verse 23 with me. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's strong. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. And then chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. 1 Samuel 16:14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that You would help us this morning, dear Lord, to learn what You have for us in this portion of Scripture. I need You this morning, dear Lord. I need You every time I open this book. But this, Lord, this morning, I need You. I pray that You would help us to understand exactly what You'd have us to learn from this portion of Scripture. Apply it to our hearts, dear Lord. Use me this morning as a vessel that You can speak through and touch the hearts of all that are in attendance and all that will hear this lesson. I pray that You would help us to learn this lesson that You have for us here about King Saul and in this place of Gilgal. Thank You for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What a troubling portion of Scriptures. First we see such joy. Saul has been crowned king of Israel, the first king of Israel. And then we see as he is in sin, and it says his sin is as witchcraft and stubbornness and idolatry. And then it says the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. What in the world has taken place? What has transpired in Saul's life in so few of years? That's what we want to look at this morning. And it begins back in 1 Samuel chapter 9, where we see Saul introduced to us. And we've been at this place called Gilgal for a number of weeks now, and we have a couple more weeks to finish this up. And Gilgal is such an important key place in the Scriptures. And as we're seeing, it's starting to be no longer a place of holiness and a place of reverence and a place of holding God in a special awe of reverence and humbleness and obedience. It's starting to change. As we saw last week, where it was a place of re-examination and the tribes of Israel were having to re-examine their lives, and they had fallen away and not obeyed God completely in destroying the inhabitants of the land, and how that continued to plague them. So we saw a pattern of disobedience starting to happen. And before that, we saw Joshua and the children of Israel finally coming out of the wilderness. And we see them remembering what God had done for them from the stones. And we saw the resurrection from the Jordan River. And we saw the renunciation of sin and the idolatry. We saw the restoration of the old covenants. We saw the realization of who their leader was. We saw that the captain of the host came, and there was a revelation to Joshua of who the captain of the host was. All great and positive things. But it took a turn last week. And unfortunately, it's going downhill. Gilgal is still at this point in chapter 1 Samuel chapter 9 through about chapter 11. It is still a great place, and it's still a place they hold as a holy place. That's why they're going to take Saul there and anoint him king there. That is why Samuel comes to this place. And there's some mentions here that we're going to talk about of Gilgal. But it's still not the same. The inhabitants of Canaan still live among the children of Israel. They have not obeyed God. There is idolatry in the land. And it is starting to come in and seep into the lives of the Jewish people, into the children of Israel, into their homes, into their worships. And God is not pleased. And then they take another turn that has taken such a turn for not the better. They have said, we want to be as other nations. We want a king. Before that time, who was the king of Israel? God. It was a theocracy. God was in charge of the people, and God directed the people where to go and what to do and how to eat and where to stop and where to move on to and how to cross the rivers. God was their king. And they're turning from God now and say, we want to be as every other nation. What nations are they looking at? The ones they failed to remove from the promised land. The ones God specifically told them, remove them from the promised land. Remove their idolatry. Remove their cultures. And they did not do that. They were in disobedience. And what is it leading to? It's leading step by step, as we looked last week. Satan doesn't come to you and say, I want you to commit murder. He starts with something really small. And it's so easy to step into. And you're like, oh, that's not a sin. That's just a concession. That's just it's not the best thing, but it's okay. You start small and you start gradually. And all of a sudden, you're out the door. You're not in church anymore. It starts so tiny as a small step, and that's what's happening with the children of Israel at this point. They have failed to obey God, and they are starting to take steps further and further and further away from God. And as if we'd looked at the book of Judges, you'd see how they continually did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God would send a judge, and that judge, they would get right back with God, and then as soon as that judge was off the scene, they did evil in the sight of the Lord again. It was a pattern. Judges is a complete pattern. They continue to do over and over and over. And finally they say, we want a king just as every other nation. They're removing God. They're saying, we don't need you as our God anymore. We don't need you as our king anymore. We want a king just as all other nations. And Samuel has been in the temple since a small child. His mama brought him to the temple and gave him back to God. And he's been in the temple and he's been learning how to worship God. And he's a prophet of God. And he speaks with God, and God speaks with him. And God, it breaks Samuel's heart. And God says, Samuel, it's not they've turned from you, they've turned from me. And we're going to allow this, because this is what the people want, but they're going to see that it's not the right decision. So that's where we come in 1 Samuel chapter 9. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Ebuel, the son of Zor, the son of Bechorath, the son of Apiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. We're in 1 Samuel 9:1. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, take now one of thy servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses. So here is a circumstance that comes about. And I am a firm believer that God puts people in your path as a Christian. He puts circumstances in your path. And He puts an understanding of the Word of God in your path to direct and lead you among your Christian life. I can think of specific circumstances that led to my salvation. If I had made decisions on choices that I wanted to make, then I would not have been saved at that appropriate time when I needed to be saved. God put people in my life. God, once I was saved, God put people in my life that directed me and led me where God wanted me to go. Now, I had the choice still. I could choose it. Yes, that's where I want to go. Or I could say, no, I want to go this way. There was a circumstance. And there is a circumstance here we see in 1 Samuel chapter 9. The asses of Kish were lost. You're like, oh, come on. You're kidding me, right? No, this is of God. And they were lost 3 days. How do you know this? If we continued reading, it says, and he passed, this is Saul and his servant going out to look. And I believe this servant was chosen of God as well. The one servant that of in the household of Kish that Saul says, you're going to come with me, servant. This servant is of God too. It leads to something here. As we continue to look, and he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, that they found them not. And they passed through the land of Shalim. There they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. Boy, they're good hiders. They'd win hide and seek. No, I think God's hiding them. And when they were come to the land of Zuz, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold, this is the servant talking. Verse 6, this is the servant. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God. He is an honorable man, and all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us on our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul and again and said, behold, I have here in hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver that will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. The servant offers up the payment to the prophet. I have something, Saul. I'm just a servant, but I have a fourth part of a shekel of silver. I'm willing to give it to the man of God. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come, and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." He made a choice. God does not, as pastor says, he does not burglarize our will. He allows us to make choices. That is one thing that we believe as independent Baptists that many denominations do not believe. Independent soul liberty. God allows us to make a decision of our salvation, of the path we're going to take, of what we're going to do for God. He allows us to make that decision. He allows us to choose. And Saul says, "Well said. Let us go." So they went into the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water and said unto them, "Is the seer here?" And they answered them and said, "He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city." Is that coincidence? I don't think so. The prophet of God is right there in the city and he came today. "For there is sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him." He hasn't even gone to the sacrifice to bless the sacrifice yet. He's still waiting because he knows something that the people of this city do not know. He's waiting for Saul. And we're going to see that. He is waiting. God has already spoke to him. Saul's coming. Wait on him. "And they went up into the city. And when they were coming to the city, behold, Samuel came out against them." They ran into each other for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cries come unto me." And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, "Behold, the man whom I spake of thee, of this same shall reign over my people." God had made a choice. The people said, "We want a king." And he tells Samuel, "They have not refused you and not forsaken you. They are forsaking me." And so God allows the people and allows their choice. And he says, "Okay, I'll give them a king." And he looks among all the tribes of Israel. And he looks at all the people of Israel. And he chooses Saul. I believe here that the lasses were lost for a reason. Because Samuel was not going to go and find the king of Israel. God was going to bring the new king of Israel to Samuel. At a specific time, at a specific place, at exactly the right moment. That's what happened here. The choice. God chose Saul. For sake of time, let's move over to the latter part of chapter 9. And we'll go to verse 26. Chapter 9, verse 26. "And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, 'Up, that I may send thee away.' And Saul arose, and they went out both of them, he and Saul, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, 'Bid the servant pass on before us.' And he passed on. 'But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God.'" Now at this point, God has chosen Saul. Saul has not chosen God. He has not made the decision to say, "Yes, I'm going to follow God in this decision." Me, king? You'll see, he's a very humble person in the beginning. He is sort of timid. Saul has not chosen God. But Samuel pulls him aside and shows him the word of God. This is what God has decided. Now you, Saul, have a choice. We go into verse 1 of chapter 10, "And then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah.'" And we could continue on in chapter 10, but it's really talking about a confirmation here of the choice of God. There's going to be three signs, Saul, three signs. And those three signs are going to come to pass here in chapter 10. And you're going to realize This is God's choice. What are you going to do, Saul? And at the last sign, he's actually prophesying with the men of God. God has put a spirit upon him, and it says he changed his heart on the way. and says when he comes to end of chapter 10, he is deciding now, God has chosen me, and I'm going to choose God. So we come into chapter 11, and there is quite a ceremony going on. There's the Ammonites, and you've got some things going on here in chapter 11 that we just can't get into for sake of time. But there are some things going on that make Saul realize, I need to choose God too. And he says, I will choose God. And they come to the place where they're going to proclaim Samuel or Saul as king, and they can't even find him. He's hiding in the baggage carts because he's so timid and humble. And he says, I'm not worthy to be king. I don't want to be king, but if that's the people's choice. And he comes, as we read earlier in chapter 11 and verse 14, Then said Samuel to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and they that made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. There was a ceremony here of anointing Saul as the first king of Israel. Why'd they do this at Gilgal? That's where the covenant was renewed. That's where the children of Israel, the wilderness of the wilderness journey, where they crossed the Jordan River. That's where, with Joshua as their head, they were fitting to form up a new nation, a new nation. They were ready. Jericho's ruins were in sight of where they were at. The Jordan River is at flood stage again because it's harvest time again. We could read that again in the scriptures. They are where their fathers stood and where the Ark of the Covenant crossed the Jordan River. It is still a holy place to them. The stones of remembrance are probably still on the banks of the Jordan River at this time. And the stones of resurrection are still in the Jordan River at this time, probably still visible. They had to cross or see them from their sight. It's still a holy place. But then look back at chapter 10 and verse 8. Chapter 10 and verse 8, Samuel tells Saul something here. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry. That's important. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. 7 days, Saul, you shall wait for me, and then we'll come together and I will offer sacrifices and peace offerings. That is among the signs. We have to go all the way to chapter 13 to see what happens. As we're not studying the life of Saul here, there is a lot going on in these portions of Scripture. Please take some time to understand and read what God is showing you here about Saul's life. In chapter 13, Saul reigned 1 year when he had reigned 2 years over Israel. Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And it goes on and talks about Jonathan's great defeat of the Philistines at their garrisons here, and the battle of Michmash. Move down to verse 8 with me. Of verse 7, chapter 13, verse 7. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered who? Saul. He offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. What has Saul done? Let's continue reading. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God." If you're in the habit of circling things in your Bible, there's so many things we could underline or circle here. But right here, Samuel is talking to Saul. The prophet is talking to the king. And he is saying, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God." Samuel the prophet is saying, "You have not obeyed your God." Remember that. "Thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." This is an act of rebellion on Saul's part. He says, "Samuel's not here. He's not anywhere. We've waited 7 days. Bring me the offering. I'll sacrifice it. I'm worthy. I'm okay. I'm sort of worried about the Philistines coming, and the people are sort of scattering around. I'll offer the sacrifice. I'll take it upon myself." And Samuel says, "Thou hast acted foolishly, because you have not obeyed the commandment of thy God." It's an act of rebellion that actually is a pattern in Saul's life. Before this account, he is very patient, he is very humble, he is very obedient, he's waiting on the Lord. At this point, his life is changing to the place where he is prideful, he is self-indulgent, he is not obedient, he is disobedient, and he is saying, I am better than Samuel. I know better than Samuel. Samuel's not here, I can do it. Does that remind us somebody about Daniel? I will ascend. I will take over. I will be God. Some rebellion coming here. Saul crosses a line here. As we move into chapter 15, so much is happening here, but we just don't have time. 1 Samuel chapter 15, in verse 1, Samuel said, "We've got a battle of the Philistines." Saul faced the Philistines all his life as a king. All his life as a king, he's facing the Philistines. But now the Amalekites are showing their ugly head, and King Agag. And this is one of the tribes that the children of Israel should have pushed out of Canaan when they came in, just as the Philistines, and they failed to obey God, and it's still nagging at their heels. And here the Amalekites are forming up, and King Agag is forming up against the children of Israel, and Samuel is going to give Saul a command here. From God, it says in chapter 15, "Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he had laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenianites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenianites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, of the fatlings, and the lambs, all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they were destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. No, he hasn't. Did he obey the commandment of the Lord? No. But in his mind, I've done right. I'm okay. I'm boss. I'm in charge. I know better. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They. Excuses are coming. They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best, the people, spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Uh-oh. There's another thy there, but what is Saul saying? We have kept the best of the sheep and the oxen, the people have, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Is Saul saying it's no longer his God? Saul's made a decision here. Saul has made a choice here. He's no longer following God and no longer following God's direction. He has veered off the path. Am I saying he's not a born-again believer? No, but he has made a choice here to say, I don't like God's path. I like my path. And I'm in charge of my path, and I like it. I'm going to go my path. So Samuel, thy God is not my God anymore. I'm my God. And he says, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. I'm not worried. Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He's still denying it. Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. God has not rejected Saul for being king for these one or two acts. Saul is displaying a spirit of rebellion against God. He has come to a place, and that most of these acts are happening in Gilgal, a holy place in the children of Israel's eyes. And Saul here at Gilgal has made Gilgal a witness to a spirit of rebellion. Gilgal has become a witness to a spirit of rebellion to the extent that now God is removing his spirit from Saul. If we looked at Saul's life from after this point in chapter 16, verse 14, Saul is no longer the same person. He is a manic depressant. He is bitter. He is angry. He is thriving on wanting to murder David consistently in his life because David's now the choice of God. He has changed. He is no longer wanting to be obedient to God. He is no longer wanting to care of the things of God. God has removed his spirit from him. What can we learn from this? Are we rebelling against God? Has God shown us what He wants us to do? God gives every born-again believer a talent, at least one, if not multiple talents. He gave Saul a talent. He placed on him, I believe it's in chapter 10 or chapter 11, where it says, the Spirit of God came upon Saul and He gave him the ability to be a king. He was no longer more timid and shy. He was no longer that type of person where he could not be a king, but God gave him a spirit so he could become king. He gave him a talent, and then he sat in chapter 16, removes it from him. He's no longer worthy to be king because of his spirit of rebellion. We have talents. God has given us talents. Are we using them for God? God can remove those talents from us if we are not using them for Him. Do we have a spirit of rebellion? Or are we seeking to please God in every decision of our lives? Has God directed you one way and you're on the verge of going your own way? Are you on that fence and you're straddling that fence post and you're saying, do I go my way or do I go God's way? Take a lesson from Saul's life and learn from Saul. He chose his path. For a time, he was obeying God. But then he realized, I want my own way. I want the glory. I want the self-esteem. I want the pride. I want the pats on the back. I don't need God. Careful, because if you go that direction, God could end your life. God could remove the blessings from your life. God can remove the spirit of contentment and joy and peace from your life. God can remove those talents from your life so that you're just existing until you get right with Him. So if you have made that choice of going down the path of your own decisions and making your own choices, come back to God. He'll forgive you. He'll accept you. He'll welcome you back in because He's actually standing there like this, wanting you to come back to Him, ready to welcome you home, ready to welcome you back in His arms so that He can walk you over here to His path and say, let's walk this path together. So if you have made those decisions, ask God to forgive you and to get back on His path. If you're teetering on that fence, choose God. Choose God's path. Use those talents for God that He has given you. And you won't be sorry. You'll be blessed. You'll have peace. You'll have joy. Are there going to be no troubles? No. But there will be times of trouble. But there'll be times of great peace and great joy and great satisfaction knowing that you are doing exactly what God wants you to do. I pray we can take from Saul's life these understandings and apply them to our hearts and lives. Help us to make our Gilgal a place where it's not a witness of spirit of rebellion, but as a place of renewal and to Christ and to God. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity to study this portion of Scripture. How I don't feel I did it justice, Lord. I rushed through it so quickly. I pray that Your message came across and that You can speak to our hearts continually, even after this lesson, after we've moved on from church today. Continue to help us to understand this lesson and apply it to our hearts and lives. Go back and read these chapters in 1 Samuel that we've skimmed over so quickly and help us to understand what You have done in Saul's life and help us not to make some of his decisions and his errors and his sin. Help us, Lord, if we're teetering on that brink of wanting to go our way or God's way, help us, Lord, give us the strength to go Your way. Help us to have wisdom in those decisions. Thank You for all that You do for us. Bless in the next service. Bless Pastor. Help him, dear Lord. Speak through him to our hearts. In Christ's name.